Somebody got my somebody got my palm branches. Shalom. Neither heat nor cold nor dark of night. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This might have been a test to see who had come to the Yahweh's Sabbath services today. I hope everyone else tried that's not here. We have a big snowstorm here. Been without water for a few days. I've been telling you need to go back to the way it was when I was a child. You know, get you a water bucket. There was other buckets people used too. Have a night. You might be thinking of that, you know. You might be thinking of that. Seriously, when the electricity goes down, I had an early morning appointment Wednesday morning in town, and all the electricity was off. I came in on 80, and all the electricity was down. I wondered, you know, no signal lights, nothing. Not even a police officer. They were all busy working accidents, I guess. But I just thought, you know, we have it great because we have wells we can fall back on and other conveniences. But you know, the people in town, they're fully dependent on these things. The same chaos is throughout the whole world right now, and people are getting a little bit shook up because it's starting to get their attention. And of course, I don't know if you've been keeping up on the leaks that the WikiLeaks got hold of, and they're trying to keep him from letting this stuff out. But there are some great fears among the leaders of the world. The WikiLeaks tension in the Middle East and Asia has direct potential to lead to nuclear war. Tension in the Middle East and Asia has given rise to an escalating atomic arms and missile race, which has the direct potential to lead to nuclear war. Leaking diplomatic documents disclose. Now, it states that such nations as North Korea, Syria, Iran are developing long-range missiles capable of hitting targets outside the region. Records of top-level security briefings obtained by WikiLeaks. Long-running hostilities between India and Pakistan, which both have nuclear weapons capabilities, are at the root and fear of a nuclear conflict in the region. So that they are seeing, you know, and this is of course getting to Christianity, and they are asked in Christianity some questions that they can't answer. Hillary Clinton, if you saw her statement or read it, she said, Hillary Clinton, Middle East facing perfect storm. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has said the Middle East is facing a perfect storm of unrest, and nations must embrace democratic change. Democracy, I say again, democracy does not bring peace. Democracy is great in one way because it gives freedom of religion. Freedom, it actually hurts in many ways when there's not guidance or education in peace. If they had democracy along with education in the peaceful solution, character education, it would work. But by itself, it won't work. The only reason that democracy has worked as long as it has in the United States was the wealth that Yahweh blessed the United States with. And of course, they have no need for war. They have no need for an uprising. It makes me think of the little boy that never talked, and they kept trying to coax him to talk, and he would not. And when he got about 10 years old, he started griping, and his mother was amazed and said, "But you've never talked till now." And he said, "Well, things have been all right up until now." So that's the way it is in America. But things are changing, and they know this. They see this change taking place here, and they don't know what to do. They're grabbing at straws now, and they'll say, "Well, democracy worked in the United States," when it's not. The United States is not united right now, and you can see this, and you can see the uprisings that are starting to take place here in America also. Now, Yahweh has shown that he's going to keep this under control because of his house being here, so he won't, but that's the only reason. But he's not going to hold back the war from the United States. He will protect his house, but he's not going to allow anything to interfere with this work. And that's, you know, that's set. It can't be changed, as all the apostles and prophets have said. But it is going to be a great disaster for much of the United States. And of course, this is shown in prophecy, and this is the nuclear wars. This is not the first part of the nuclear wars. This is the second phase of the nuclear wars that ends up with about 4/5 of the Earth's population being wiped out. Clinton said that at the meeting of the Middle East Quartet in the southern German city, the region is being battered by a perfect storm of powerful trends. Now, she's talking about people here, and of course, she's saying they're getting aggravated because of what is taking place here in America with foreclosures, high food prices, and so forth is also taking place in Egypt. And Egypt has been this going on now. This has been going on in Egypt for quite some time. And of course, if certain ones come into a problem territory where this is taking place, and we might say where it's caused to take place, then certain ones can implement and start a revolution in that country very easy, because the people are already aggravated. And as Hitler showed, if you ever studied Hitler and how he came to power, he offered them a way out. Of course, it was a evil way out, but he offered it to them and made it look great in their eyes and very tempting. So they took it. Germany took it and ran with it. And he had full power for quite some time. Well, this is what has driven demonstrators into the streets of Tunis, Cairo, and cities throughout the region, and not just in Egypt either. The status quo is simply not sustainable, she says. No way of stopping it, she said. She said that with water shortage and oil, remember, hurt not the oil. With oil running out, governments may be able to hold back the tide of change for a short while, but not for long. So they are beginning to see that their kingdom is crumbling. It's divided against itself, as America has started to divide also. Egypt overshadows Mideast Quartet talks. Now, what they're afraid of here, they have expressed the fear that this could escalate and, of course, get someone in Egypt that is not friendly to Israel, and Israel will have another enemy that's stronger than the others around them. The Palestinians reject Israel's economic package. I've got one more here, if I can find it, or two more that I wanted to show you. The food shortage. Food shortage. Airborne disease test. Not a threat, they say. Just a lot of sickness and disease. Let's see. I believe that's it. The rest of it I've got to save for the sermon here. The big thing that was on the news this week, and I guess it leaked out to the internets and so forth, was the end of the world. And of course, they asked the heads of the universities here in Abilene, and the biggest statement they made was, "I don't know," but but it's always surprising to me to see how little they know about the Holy Scriptures. You might be turning over to Matthew 24, and of course about Yahweh's plan. They know little or nothing about His plan because they don't believe in His plan. And only the house of Yahweh believes in Yahweh's plan. And praise Yahweh. And of course, that's the reason the Creator had in His plan for this generation the taking of the message of the kingdom to all the world. They don't preach it, so it's not known anywhere in the world. They don't know that Yahweh's kingdom, His plan is to bring peace. He has a perfect plan to bring peace. Now, the world is at a loss right now because they don't know what to do. They don't know which way to jump. We have the answers for them, but at this time, we're hated. And the hatred will get more severe because it's being taught by the churches against the house of Yahweh. Their slanderous remarks and their false accusations and so forth that have come against the house and has come against Yahweh's work throughout the days of the prophets. Then they killed the Savior. They killed Yochanan, who came before the Savior. Then they persecuted the apostles after that, as you see in the Acts of the Apostles. They persecuted the followers of the prophets, which was thousands. They went at, you know, it's mentioned into the thousands that were converted. Some there was 5,000 in one day or 7,000 in another day and so forth. So the message was spreading. Now these people, of course, they were raised, they had access to the prophet's writings. And all they needed to do was find out that the Savior was actually born and that He was killed and that He rose again the third day. And so this thing put it in motion, and them knowing the laws and knowing that He taught the written laws of the prophets set a work in order that just literally spread throughout the nations of Israel, which were many, many nations in Israel, controlled by Israel at that time. But the end, it's always been one thing, and that is the end or finishing of a plan that was set in the beginning. That's what the end is. It's not the end of the world. The King James Version wrote end of the world. The King James people that translated the Scriptures, I don't know if they were just ignorant of all of the Scriptures that speak about this or if they did this deliberately, but I'm thinking they were ignorant of it. And of course, King James had a number of students of the schools of higher learning, and I think they gave each one of them a chapter, and they translated it from Hebrew to Arabic and other languages. But the end is not the end of the world, nor is it the end of mankind. It's the end of a plan, or the finishing of a plan, the consummation of a plan. That's what you find throughout the Holy Scripture. That plan is you, of course. It's the house of Yahweh. And this last established house of Yahweh is the remnant of this plan of the thousands of people that Yahweh has brought to unity with his priest, with the ones sent, brought them to unity with them. And you won't be in the kingdom unless you come to unity. That's the one thing, brethren, that you've got to do. You've got to humble yourself and come to unity with the one sent, or you won't be in the kingdom with the one sent. You won't be in the kingdom, period. All who won't believe, Yeshua said, they're going to perish. Well, here in Matthew 24, I want you to understand what the end of the world, as the King James put it, what it really is. And here the disciples came to Yeshua in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and verse 1, and he was just leaving the temple, never to go back, in fact. Left the temple for the last time. And verse 2 said, and Yahshua said to them, they came to him to show him the temple building in verse 1. And Yahshua said to them, do you see all these things? Truly I say to you, there will not be left one stone left upon another, which will not be thrown down. That prophecy came, it was fulfilled in 70 A.D., came to pass in detail. Titus was the one that destroyed it. And of course, the Ark of Titus, if anyone wants to look it up in the encyclopedias, it will tell you that he not only burnt the temple, but he moved the priest, he moved all the artifacts to Rome, where they are at this day, unless they hid them in another place. Now, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, Yahshua sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming? Sign of your coming, because it coordinates the finishing of Yahweh's plan, and of the end of the King James Version has world, but the word there should be age. The end of the age. And I know that doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to them, because you've got to know the rest of the scriptures that go with this, which are shown to us. And if you'll get your book of Yahweh and really study with me, I'll show you this. But this word age, it is very important that you understand this. You are it. You're it. I'll put it that way. You're it, and if you learn it, you will be it for throughout all eternity. Now, one of the characters that they spoke to, he said, be turning over to Luke 21. He said, well, it's recorded in Luke there'd be earthquakes and wars. I thought, well, go ahead. Well, there wasn't any more go ahead. And then he said, I just don't know, he said. I'll read his speeches to you here in just a moment. Luke 21 and verse 9, let's start there. And I guess this was the only verse that he could remember. And maybe he was called unprepared, or he just don't study. That's the only thing I can figure. In Luke 21, verse 9, and when you will hear of wars and rebellions. Well, this, of course, is uprisings against the local powers. And this is what we're starting to see now. We started to see it years ago, but it's escalating now. And this is what's got all the politicians worried. But this rebellion, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end is not right away, he said. And then verse 10, he says, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Well, for details of this, you need the nuclear baby, the book called The Nuclear Baby, The Explosion of Sin, because it shows how this will escalate, where the wars will start, the nuclear wars, where they've already started. In fact, they started in 2006, And the book shows this, and then it predicted a date before. And then, of course, we have the newspaper reports that we're sending with the book that actually show the fulfillment of that prophecy. The newspaper reports backs up what the book said, showing how it was started, how it was stopped by a single colonel, one single man, he says, stopped the war. Well, actually, it was Yahweh that stopped the war. But all of this is shown and will be sent to you with the book, and you need that book to know what he's talking about here, because a third part of man will be killed over that third, over that fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates. And that's where they're worried right now. The government is worried. All governments are worried that this will escalate, and very soon now. Okay, talks about great earthquakes will be throughout, place to place. We've seen those increasing, and science is alarmed now about the amount of earthquakes daily now, with famines. Well, here you find the starvation now that started a few years ago. That is getting worse. And when people start to go hungry, then uprisings come. It's been shown down through history that when the wealth is unevenly divided, when you have 75% of the wealth going to the leaders, 25% going to the citizens, you don't have any problems. Now, the more wealth you take away from the citizens, history shows, the more likely you are to have an uprising. We're in the danger zone right now that Hillary Clinton was talking about, where the wealth, we have plenty of wealth. It's just unevenly divided. And the people who want to own all the oil, it's because of wealth, and they're the quartet that's saying, hurt not the oil. That is, hurt not this oil which produces our lifestyle. What if the oil was cut off? It was for 6,000 years, almost. The oil wells that were drilled, they were being drilled when I was a child. That's when it all started. In this generation, this started. My generation, this started. Oklahoma was one of them, and they had a drilling machine that they used on water wells. They created this thing by hand in a blacksmith shop, that's what it was called, where men took metal and they heated it and they beat it into certain figures that they could make wheels, they could make cogs, and so forth. So they built a drilling machine that would sit on a wagon, be moved by a wagon, that they could let down as the horses pull the post round and around and around the wagon. And that was the first drilling machine. And, of course, that's what struck your oil that you have today. Now we have big super drilling machines that can go. They can not only go straight down, but they can even use directional drilling. They can set up here, they can set up on their property, direct that clear over to our property and take the oil out from under our property. Yes. That's possible. It's being done. And, of course, it's being griped about. And fights have started. People have lost their lives for it. But this is the ways of the kings of the East. But he's talking here about famine and pestilence. Pestilence, of course, is disease epidemics, which we've had our share of right here in the United States, but this is not the strongest part of the disease epidemic. And these are caused disease epidemics. They're caused by mankind. And I've brought this out many times, how they're caused, and go into detail with it, by breaking Yahweh's laws. And Yahweh shows you this in Leviticus, the 18th chapter. You probably won't understand it unless you get our work to go with it, which we cover it fully in the books of Yisrael, and you just call and ask for this subject, and they'll show tell you what book to get it from. The disease epidemics that are caused by breaking laws, fornication, adultery, sodomy, the biggest one, and of course, bestiality. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven, great signs from heaven. Look on over to verse 25, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon, basically the same thing that Matithya said in Matithya 24, we'll get back to later, and in the stars and on earth, distress. This is shown greatly by the prophets, the distress that is arising at this time, is taking over all the nations. Notice, among the nations, distress. That's what we see in Egypt at this time. And in the group of sermons that I brought on the wars of the Middle East, I brought more out on this than I'm going to bring today. But distress among the nations in their perplexity. Of course, you know, they are perplexed. They don't know what to do. Hillary Clinton has said, you need to turn to democracy, and you need to do it now. And you need to get out of this office and let's get some democracy in here. Well, democracy is not going to solve your problems. You could make it look like that, I guess, by giving a bunch of money to these people and telling them to go spend this money and forget about their war for a while. But as she said, it's not going to last long. You can't overcome this right away. And you can't push it aside for very long, she said. I just read you the article. But perplexity at the roaring of the surge of the sea. Well, of course, she put a perfect storm. I don't know if she knew she was quoting scripture, but this is referring to people. The waters that you saw, Revelation 17 said, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Keep that one in mind. It's in Revelation 17. Many other scriptures throughout by the prophets show the same thing. And then men's courage failing them because of fear. One says their hearts failing them because of this situation that we're getting into, and because of the dread of those things which are coming. Now, these are things that they see coming because they're dreading it on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Let's continue reading. And then they will see the Son of Man. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So when these things begin to come to pass, he says, then look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Well, of course, this is speaking about a certain event at a certain set time for the remnant to actually be called up and given their power. Verse 29. Then we'll try to cover that too. I can't do it today, but as time goes on, then he spoke a parable. Look on down to verse 31. So they, in the same way, when you see these things come to pass. So when you see these are things you can see now. If I could get the professor of ACU to listen to this sermon, then he would know more about how to answer the people concerning the end. There's a plan. He could be part of it if he'd repent. So you, in the same way, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of Yahweh is near at hand. The kingdom of Yahweh. Now, if you think about this, he's not saying it's near, you can see it. But it's near at hand. The kingdom of Yahweh is near at hand. The kingdom shall be preached. The message of the kingdom of Yahweh shall be preached in all the world. In fact, it's just a few miles from you. It's right at hand, right now. If you would come east. Come east, young man. You will find it. And those in the east, come west, and you will find it. It's at hand. The kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. It's sitting here in Oak Forest, a prophesied place of Yahweh in the scriptures. And a time of establishment, of course. Okay, verse 32. Truly I say to you, that generation, get this, that generation. Now remember this, this is very important words that I want you to remember. And then I'll show you how the apostles and prophets tied in with what is said here in the prophecy that the end involves. The word end in the King James Version, end of the world. That generation will not pass until all is fulfilled. Now that, of course, in Matthew 24:34, that he says the same thing. Now, be turning over to Yochanan 1. The end is always speaking of the beginning plan of Yahweh. If you want to make a note of that, you should, and remember, and then it will stop some of the confusion about the end, the end of the world. Not going to be the end of the world, but it's the end of a plan that Yahweh created before he created earth, before he created mankind. Get rid of the books of evolution, and this will help you too, because in the beginning, Yahweh showed this plan. And he gives you a lot of information there that we will cover in coming sermons here. I want to bring a few on the end before we go to something else, but I will try to cover the biggest parts of it to start people throughout the world to understanding this and being a part of it, being a part of Yahweh's plan. But here you see in Yochanan 1:1, he says, "In the beginning was the plan of Yahweh. And the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's." That was the plan, with Yahweh. And if you remember that right there now, and look over to Ephesians. Ephesians. Remember the plan. It's with Yahweh. It was Yahweh's plan. You know, no gods have ever written books that compare with this or try to dispute it. The gods have no power. They didn't have a creation plan. It was only Yahweh that had the creation plan. The gods are trying to destroy it because they don't want a rulership over them, and they know that's what the house of Yahweh is going to be. But they don't. If they understood what that rulership means, you know, and that we're going to be their servants, and we're going to be their guides and teachers, serving and guiding them to peace throughout all eternity. That's Yahweh's plan, and we'll see it here now. And if you're listening to me by television or radio, these sermons on this will run one right behind the other. This one is the first one on the subject of the end. And there will be a few more that will follow this, but if you can get this now on tape, on disc, we'll make sure you can get it all on one disc. Hopefully you can. But here in Ephesians, look at 1, and the Apostle Shaul is speaking here to the Ephesians. I've covered this. This was a group, of course, of Israelites. But they weren't in Israel. They were some that was taken captive and put in a certain spot and says, "You work this land." And of course, this is where they were. And they had meeting places for the Sabbath, and they were keeping the Sabbath as best they could at the time. Shaul, an apostle of Yahshua Messiah, by the will of Yahweh, to the saints who were in Ephesus, faithful in Yahshua Messiah. Verse 3, "Blessed be Yahweh, the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings of the heavens in Messiah, because he chose us with him before the foundation of the world. Well, of course, that's what's shown in Yochanan 1:1, but that's what he showed also in Genesis. So he's repeating this from Genesis, that we were to be holy. Notice what we're to be now, holy, without blame before him in love. Now, for Christians, I've got to have you hold your finger right there. Turn over to Second John, if you have a King James Version, or Yochanan, because you won't understand this, what he's saying here, unless you understand what love actually is. Second Yochanan, or John, found over close to the book of Revelations. You got Yochanan, or John, 1, 2, 3, and then you got Jude, and then Revelations in the King James Version. Now, Second Yochanan, or John, 1, there's only one chapter, and we're in it, and verse 6, this is love. Now, when you see the word love, you will know what true love actually is. True love is not a turkey on Thanksgiving or a present on Christmas. That has nothing to do with true love. True love is following the peaceful solution, character education, that Yahweh gives us in his great laws. Praise Yahweh. That is going to stop war and is promised to stop war. Yahweh said in Isaiah 2:2, they're going to beat 1 through 6. Once these laws are taught to the nations, and once they're allowed to learn these laws, see, the Catholic Church has kept them from owning Bibles. They have killed those who followed the Bibles. Even today, they bring propaganda against, they take a Christian who murders their children, and they say, this is what you get for trying to follow the Bible. As if, you know, they found somewhere in the Holy Scriptures where they're supposed to kill their children. And of course, they get the people to believing that. And they look down upon a person who starts following the Holy Scriptures. And they start persecuting them, bringing false charges against them, as they have done the house of Yahweh. Well, this is love. What is love? Please read it for yourself. Everyone, read it. That we walk after his laws. Those are the laws that you have heard from the beginning. From the beginning, they were taught by Abel, the righteous prophet of Yahweh. Righteous, 1 John 3:7 says, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. But sin is the breaking of the law, 1 John 3:4. Now back to Ephesians. Now, notice what we are becoming, because he's talking about you, and he's talking about ending with you. We are the end. We are it. We're the end of the world. The house of Yahweh is the end of Yahweh's plan, the finishing of the plan. I'm going to prove that to you if you'll just read with me in your holy, even in a King James Version, you'll see this. You know, I started studying with Christians years ago, and this is how I found out, you know, they know nothing about the Scriptures. I was raised on the Scriptures because we studied the Scriptures every night. I can't remember ever missing a night. I probably did, but I can't remember it. In fact, I look forward to it because we would always sit down. This was in Oklahoma. We had no electricity, no television sets, nothing. No running water, no flushing bathrooms that freeze up, that you can't use, and be caught without one. There wasn't a bathtub in the house. There was a tub that we kept hanging on the wall outside, a number 2 wash tub, that's what we used to bathe in. life was very simple at that time. You cook with wood. You cut the wood with an axe and so forth. Well, anyway, our studies every evening, we had a kerosene light that gave us lights to read the Bible. We didn't read funny books or funny magazines or anything like that. We only studied the Scriptures. So I grew up on them. Well, I remember when Herbert Armstrong started a work. He came from the college, the Church of God Seventh Day. He just left them, started his own work, and started a radio program. Well, he started keeping the feast, and me and my brother said, "Well, hey, you know, this guy's keeping the feast of Yahweh." So we went there, and they had some of the questions, but some of the answers, of course. But they too were liking. But I do remember that Miss Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong's wife, she would sit in the sanctuary there and talk to me when between services. She noticed me studying one day in the sanctuary, their sanctuary in Big Sandy, and she came back, sat down in front of me, and she said, "I notice you study the Bible a lot." And I said, "Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it?" of course, I asked her questions about the law, and she could answer quite a bit of that. But when it got into prophecy, she said, I don't understand prophecy. She said, "Every time I interpret anything, I find that I'm wrong later in another chapter somewhere." So she said, I gave up on prophecy. When I left there to go to college, I went to the college where Armstrong went to college, and Andrew Duggar and Ellen G. White, they all came from that same college where I went to college. And I thought, I'll get my answers here. Well, those were more liking than Herbert W. was. So later I got the answers from Yahweh, of course, as you know, but no one else. But here now, keep this in mind. Blessed is Yahweh, the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings of the heavens. Then verse 4, because he chose us with him before the foundation of the world. He chose us, the ones he calls. Now, you might remember this. Many are called, but few are chosen, Yahshua said. Many are called, but few are chosen. Those who leave, he showed that 3 out of 4 will leave. And then he showed you, get your mind on the one sent. Believe the one sent, and you won't be leaving the house of Yahweh. And you will be a part of this kingdom forever. You'll be the end of Yahweh's work. You'll be a part of that. The foundation, because he chose us with him before the foundation of the world. Now this, if you can just get the magnitude of this being's mind. This being, this being knew what he was going to create in Adam and Eve. And then he knew from genealogy, that he knew and could write the genealogy of these people for generations to come. And he could tell you, he did tell us what was going to take place in certain generations. As highlights, he didn't tell you everything of every person, but he shows you that he could have, if he wanted to, wrote a biology or a lesson on each person, telling you what that person was going to do in advance. He could have, but he chose not to do it. He chose not to know. So anyone and everyone that is called He gives the opportunity, but as Yeshua said, if you don't ground yourself in this foundation and to this foundation, then you're not going to make it. You're going to be drug away or snatched away by Satan, as he put it. Well, this is where the knowledge is, and if you'll just bear with me and look at these scriptures, you'll see that Yahweh is talking to you through me, showing you what the end is. You're going to be amazed. Because he chose us with him before the foundation of the world, that we were to be holy, and without blame, as Yahshua Messiah himself lived before him in love. Love through his love. This 613 laws of love, preordaining us to be his children by adoption through Yahshua Messiah, according to the righteous pleasure of his plan. Now here you see the word plan again. This plan, to the praise of his glorious love, with which he has honored us in the one he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That is, if we repent and convert, as Acts 3:19 says, repent and convert to keeping Yahweh's laws of love. Acts 3:19, then our sins will be blotted out. We have redemption. That gives us redemption. The forgiving of our trespasses according to the riches of his pardon, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and understanding, having revealed to us the great secret. Yes, it has been kept secret. In fact, Daniel said the books were closed. They're just now being opened to the house of Yahweh in the last days, in this generation. Having revealed to us the great secret of his plan according to his righteous pleasure, which he has purposed to himself, his righteous plan, notice, his plan, having revealed to us the great secret of his plan according to the righteous pleasure, his righteous pleasure, which he has purposed to himself for the administration of his house. It's very important that you get that word and for the administration of his house. That's us. He calls us for this purpose, for the administration of his house. Administration means this. This is what he set up under Yethro. Administration comes from the word administrator, to serve. That's the first meaning of the word, to serve. This administration that he is setting up here. Yeshua set us the perfect example to serve as a slave. Serve one another. That's what we do in the house of Yahweh. While we were sleeping, our food was being prepared by servants of Yahweh. And what I'm told, that one of the greatest meals you could get is going to be served today, anywhere in the world. You couldn't get it anywhere in the world. And it's clean and kosher. To serve. Did you know that while most people were sleeping, there were men working here so you could have a commode that flushed this morning when you got here? Coffee that tastes wonderful. A couple of weeks ago, we had a special treat I haven't forgotten about. So tasty, I want it several times more. But all of that was being done by servants, learning to be servants in Yahweh's house. Not for reward. Not for money. Not at all. They have a glory coming to them, brethren. Everyone who serves in Yahweh's house is practicing what Yeshua did, to be an example of Yeshua. And your reward is very soon now. Praise Yahweh. Well, it means to serve, but it also means to manage, to direct. Of course, if you don't pay any attention to the director, then you're worthless for this administration, right? Management, that's what administration means. The executive officials of a government, that is the government of Yahweh and so forth, their policies, captains over 50s, captains over hundreds, captains over thousands, to manage, conduct, direct, control, to furnish, dispense, give, and offer the directions of affairs, government, supervision, command, see management, those who direct affairs, directors, administrators, officers, supervisors, teachers, command executives, floor sweepers, floor moppers, bathroom cleaners, message deliverers, those who pick up people and bring them to work. Those who sweep the floor behind them after they walk into work, so forth. Well, that's the administration. Now, you were called for this purpose now. But now that's the administration of it. And you're being trained for this administration or a position in this house of Yahweh as an administrator. For the administration, that's what you're being trained for. That's what he called you for, of his house. Notice the house at the completed time. This is important too. At the completed time, together in, now the word was put there one. I don't know why, to throw you off, confuse you, I guess, because the word is unity. The word means unity. Together in unity to himself under one head, the Messiah. The Messiah is your head if you'll do what he says, if you do what he says only. Both the things which are yet in the heavens. Oh, we get the heavens here, notice. To administrate things that are going on in heaven, or that will go on, that we will make to go on in heaven. Both the things which are yet in the heavens and the things also for the earth. So you're being trained for this administration, being trained in his house. That's the reason it's very important that you submit yourselves and don't ever go against the word. Don't ever go against the word. And I want to recall something to your mind. Saul, King Saul, that Yahweh chose to be king over Israel. Samuel, gave King Saul an order. He said, go get these people back. Don't bring any of their animals and things with you. Now, the reason he was saying this was obvious, that we know now because I've taught you this. Clothing worn by someone who's diseased carries diseases. Yahweh kept his camp clean. And this was done with the priest, keeping his camp clean. He had laws to follow to keep his camp clean. He said, don't bring any of this stuff back with you. And he told them what to do with it. So when he gets back, Samuel hears a bunch of animals blading at one another. And he said, why didn't you do what you were told? Well, of course, he made an excuse why he didn't follow the instructions of the one sent. Who was Samuel? He was Yahweh to those people. And Samuel, Yahweh, said to him, you just threw away your chance to be ruler in Yahweh's kingdom. And now the kingdom here on earth is going to be taken from you and given to another man. Now think about this. The next time you want to rebel against one of the administrators in the house of Yahweh, I want you to become an administrator. The first way to become it is to submit to administration from Yahweh. And if you can't do that, there's no use in you being here. Okay, let me see how far to go here, Ephesians. That was verse 10. Now, in verse 10 there, you see the word administration. In verse 10, you see unity. That word one, you should underline it and put unity there. For what? You see, verse 10, to teach the universe. That's what you're being trained for. That's what you're being trained for, to teach the universe. Verse 9, we see the work started in the beginning. That's Ephesians. Let's go over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, and notice verse 10. Chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, for this purpose, that is, this administration back here that we just studied about, for this purpose, he says, that it might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavens, coming through the called out ones and the manifold wisdom of Yahweh. Now, what he's talking about here is unity, of course. Yahweh bringing people, stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious people even, to himself in unity under a administration that he set up. And that's the reason he said, go to the place where I choose to put my name and there do what they tell you to do. You can't go wrong in that. But you've got to find out in prophecy, as we will see in the future programs, where that place is. It's prophesied. And Yeshua said, if you just search the scriptures, you know, you'll find me because the scriptures speak of me. And there you can follow. You're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken about me. Now, verse 10, notice now again, verse 10, he says, for this purpose, that it might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavens, coming through the called out ones, the manifold wisdom of Yahweh. Now look back to verse 9. And to make all men plainly see how this secret is administrated, which has been hidden, in Yahweh from the beginning of the ages. Now, this secret that he's talking about here is Yahshua, not just Yahshua person, but the character he taught us. When he pulled off his robe, put on a towel, and became a slave to his people. That's what Yahweh did on the first Sabbath. He became a slave and made the Sabbath a blessing to the people. Now, this is the secret that he has been hidden. What would actually bring peace to the whole world is hidden right here in the house of Yahweh. It's being proven here with these servants of Yahweh who are called into his last house, the remnant, he said. Now, it won't be revealed until this work is finished. But now, verse 9, he says, He says, the work started, verse 9 there, the work started in the beginning of the set ages. Get that again. Verse 9, this is Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all see how this secret is administrated, that is, in the house of Yahweh, if you remember that over here in 110, how this secret is administrated in the house of Yahweh, which has been hidden in Yahweh from the beginning of the ages, who created all things. In the beginning of the ages. Did you get that word? Circle that word, ages. Got it? Praise Yahweh. Look on down to verse 11 again. According to the plan of the ages. You got that? Plan of the ages. It's important that you get that part right there. Plan of the ages. Ages. Now let's go back to chapter 24. Matithya 24. Matithya 24, now keep that in mind, what you just learned right there. Matithya 24, and notice verse 3. Now the King James throws you off. If you'd look up the word there, end of the world, or if you got a diglot, or even another translation, you know, other translations know that this word here is not world, but it means ages. Remember what you just read in Ephesians, the ages, set ages. Well, the disciples knew this. What I'm about to show you, they knew this. And when they came to him and they asked him, what will be the sign of your coming? And the end of the ages. It should be ages, not singular. The end of the ages. Got it? Now, if you look over to verse 34, you see, truly I say to you, that generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. That generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. Years ago, I started a study and trying to count the generations. And you see this in Scripture. It was so many generations from one thing to another, one person to another, and one event to another down through the Scriptures. Well, this really takes a mathematician, I can tell you. And I got what I wanted. But I could see that this study could go on forever, what Yahweh actually put in the Scriptures. Now, there's a man named H.L. Bullinger, I believe that was his name. He wrote a book, Number and Scripture. And that was helpful to me in my studies. And when I found it, I got it, and it's boring. It's very boring, unless you got a purpose in mind, as I did. And of course, that helped immensely. But I saw what he was referring to here. This was years ago. I had more time then than I do now. So I spent a lot of time with that one subject there. But he said, when he says, truly I say to you, that generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. Now remember what he was talking about in Ephesians again. Maybe we should go back there and just briefly look at that again. In Ephesians 3, hold your place in Matthew 24, and go back to Ephesians 3, notice 10, for this purpose. Remember what he said over here in Ephesians 1 and verse 10, that these things we were called for the administration of his house at the completed time. At the completed time. Well, see, that's what you're training for. Then you go over here and you see this is the administration in heaven too that he's training you for right now. The number one thing that we resist the most is unity. Submitting to the one sent to the administrators that's already in office, go to the place where I choose to place my name, and become unity with them. Well, this unity that he's talking about here in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 10, at the completed time, together in unity to himself, this body that is called the house of Yahweh, the completed house of Yahweh. This administration, now back to verse chapter 3, verse 9, and to make all see how this secret is administered. Yeshua showed you in a nutshell how this secret of peace and unity is administered. And it's going to be administered to all the heavens by you who endure to the end. That word saved means you'll be given a position in his kingdom. That's what it means. It doesn't mean go to heaven. It means you're given a job to do throughout all eternity. And here's the job: administering this great secret of Yahweh to all the universe. Now, let's go back to Matithya again. And remember, they asked him about the end of the age, the end of the ages, because they knew what he was talking about. It's what I'm going to show you here right now in verse 34, that generation will not pass. This word, it means this word ages that should have been put there instead of world. It means, it's number 1074, if you want to look it up in Strong's. It's a presumed duration of 1085, a generation. A generation. So if you want to add that over here to this ages, generation, as is shown by the great apostle Shaul, it means a generation, it means time, it means become, it signifies a begetting or birth, that is being born into the Yahweh family, the change that is going to take place. We shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You remember the rest of it? At the last trumpeter. Well, who is the last trumpeter? You know? So here is another question. Who is this trumpeter? Okay. Family. It signifies a begetting or birth. Hence, that which has been begotten, a family. Isn't that beautiful? And of course, the King James, by just knowing that one thing, but not knowing the way I found it, Yahweh just led me through the scriptures and he directed me. And then he hit me on the head to get my brain to working every once in a while, you know. That's what I tell other people. Hit yourself on the head, see if you get your brain to working now, and look at this closely. But it means family. Or successive member of a genealogy. That's something else I got into, and the study went forever, and I could see it was endless, but I did get what I wanted from it, and that was the generations, of course, that I wanted to understand that he was talking about here. But people possessed or of similar characteristics, as Yeshua was. Yeshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, that's the ones that are not of this character, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And that, of course, is written in many scriptures, not just in Matithya 24. But this generation where this family, if you look back up here, you will see that verse 29 now, the sun is darkened, the moon will not give her light, stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then he says, and then will come this age, the end of this age here. He says, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man. He says, as you're coming, see, the disciples knew, when is this generation? It's what they're asking about. And what generation is it that you're going to come? He understood. They understood this. And he, of course, in hiding this from ACU and all the other schools of higher learning who's got their minds on money and not on the scriptures, they will never understand it. The wicked will never understand. Those who hate me will never understand. The fallaways will never understand. They left what could have been the prize of their life, the offer that will never be made to them again. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This is what they're asking about. And then will all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his malachim with a great sound of a trumpet. You need to get the sermons on this trumpet or trumpeter. There's several sermons that I brought explaining that, the trumpet or the trumpeter. He sends us. We are the last that become first to receive the power of to resurrect the dead and gather them together to Yahshua. This is what you see here, but there's many other scriptures explaining this one verse that you see here. And he will send his malachim with a great sound of a trumpeter, and they will gather together. That they, brethren, is you who learn to be an administrator in this house, this great house of Yahweh, to resurrect the dead, gather them together in one place from one end of the earth to the other, and bring them before Yahshua, our high priest. And they will gather together. Notice, they, you, will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. I'd like to go on about 3 more hours, but dinner is waiting. But I hope this has been as interesting to you as it has to me. Over the years, in putting this thing together, and I see, it's always, these subjects are always in mind, and of course, Yahweh shows me here a little and there a little, and down through the my lifetime, and I say, oh, that's what he meant. But it's been an interesting study, and every time I see more on it, Then I light up inside. I vibrate when he shows me these things. But the end, you know what it is now. It's the end of putting together an administration that will be shown to the heavens and be made known. We'll get into that all in next week's sermon, Yahweh willing. I love you, brothers and sisters. Yahweh bless you.